You really want to be better with your finances. You try to put money away in savings. You look for deals. You wrote out a budget once a long time ago. You still overdraft from time to time and you still have debt. The truth is managing money is not easy, but Rocket Money can help. Rocket Money shows you exactly what you're spending every month. From there, the app helps you make a budget that meets your financial goals. The app even gives you real-time alerts when you're about to go over your budget so you don't spend too much. With Rocket Money, you can also see all your subscriptions at a glance and cancel the ones you don't want right from the app. Rocket Money can even try to get you a refund for some of the money you wasted. Plus, you can use the Smart Savings feature to start putting more money away. Rocket Money analyzes your accounts to determine the optimal time to stow away cash without going over your budget. Our members report that the Rocket Money app saved more than $700 a year. Getting better with money doesn't have to be a pipe dream. Rocket Money can make it a reality. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so they taught me a long time ago that you look at the camera with the green light on it. That's what they taught me. It was a long time ago when they held me captive and chained me to a wall. Oh, you're telling me now I'm looking at red lights? Why would that be? Like, do you stop at the red light and go on the green light? Is that not the way it works? I've been looking at that green light for, and Warren Sharp's here. Am I not looking straight ahead at that green light and that we're on looking straight ahead on the monitor? Am I wrong?
Yeah, well, all the cameras have a green light. The red light, there's only a couple that have red lights at different times.
Well, that one has a red light. That one has a red light. And the guy that runs the green light just gave me the finger. He just gave me the finger, that guy. Now, how about, honestly, Warren, that kick-ass, I don't even know what it is, shirt you're wearing. I think it almost has a back to it like it's a sport coat. I can't figure out what it is, but it is Gandhi. I like it.
I appreciate
you're always breaking, you know, the trends and the you got the style. You stand out.
That's the goal.
Joe just had on a burgundy sport coat stitched with his nickname on it, and then you roll up in purple. Are you rolling Ravens? You got the black and purple.
We do have Ravens. The Air Force ones. Yeah. No, we're stopping with the J's on.
I got that. So you got the Air Force ones, and I got the old retro Jordans.
There you go.
I mean, they're not bad. I have those shoes.
Yeah. These are good.
So I got those shoes. I got those shoes like 2 years ago, and I never wore them once. Here's what I do. I collect basketball shoes, right? And my shoe collection is so kick-ass that when I get good, really cool shoes, I don't wear them. I refuse to wear them. They're too nice. Like, those shoes are so nice. Why would you wear them?
Yeah.
I keep them in the box until I feel like one day, 2-3 years down the road, I'm going to pull them out and wear them. Like, I wore yesterday my Durants, my Kevin Durants, the different colored shoes, and then today I pulled out the old Jordans. God only knows what I'll do tomorrow, but I never wear new shoes because I want to save them for like 2-3 years down the road. Is that a weakness?
I think so. I think given your health issues earlier this year, you just got to live every day like, you know, you just want to show off what you got.
So I could have died and I would have never worn the new shoes. I got like 5 pairs. I got new Lucas. I got new Ja Morant.
Yeah.
And I got the Air Force. So I haven't worn them. So I could have died and never worn them. And my son would have had to wait, I think, for, his feet to grow into 12s before he could, take ownership of my shoe collection.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I know.
Our radio affiliates have joined us. Obviously, great to have you with us, Sirius XM, channel 159. Sirius, the king of kings, It's great to be on a serious stage. Again, I'll say it a million times, Channel 159. Thank you to Steve Torre. I gave you another one, Torre. And then Scott Greenstein, Eric Spitz, my old friend Steve Cohen. I saw him here today. He wouldn't speak to me publicly. He only talks to me in private. He'll say hi to me, you know, like on a DM or a text or through his son. But when he sees me in public, he avoids me at all costs. You know what I mean? It's like you, Warren. You haven't hung out with me. You came by to say hi, and then you went off. You're very popular. You're very famous here, so you
just
don't
busy.
You
busy.
Don't spend a lot of time
business
hanging
trip
around
for me.
Pharrell. All right, so we got a lot going on here. What is your impression this week of? And by the way, Sports Byline's with us as well. All their great affiliates. Thank you for tuning in. We're at the Super Bowl 58 Radio Row at the Mandalay Bay, where the fishes fly in Las Vegas. Warren Sharp, our lead analyst, and the mad scientist himself, live and in living color, sitting next to Pharrell. He's always in, you know, the Beltway. He's always at his fat crib or at the, you know, the MGM National. I mean, you're always somewhere, but now you're finally with me at the Super Bowl. How about that? And what's your impressions this week as opposed to where you were on this game last week with me?
Well, I think the biggest thing for me is when I saw the way that Ravens lost that game by not running the football, I immediately wanted to be on the San Francisco 49ers. Like, the first thing I was thinking is the Niners should be able to kill these guys on the ground. I don't know why the Ravens did not take advantage of that against the Chiefs run defense, but the Niners should be able to. I love Kyle Shanahan. They have better players because they're paying Brock Purdy peanuts against the salary cap. He's quarterback 67. Christian McCaffrey is on a reduced deal because they added void years at the end of his contract, so he's only $3 million. He's like running back 18. They got a better roster, a deeper roster. The 49ers should have the advantage here. And I thought I knew a lot about these teams. I didn't think I was going to be surprised when I went to break these teams down in detailed analysis for this game. And I looked at the other side, and everybody who was on the Chiefs, like, they're not doing detailed analysis. They're just betting it because of Patrick Mahomes, more or less. Most of these guys are betting it because of Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is a dog, obvious play. I went through this report, okay? I wrote up 67 pages, nearly 70 pages, spent nearly 70 hours on it as well. And no lie, I think the people that think that the 49ers are going to win this game for the same reasons I thought and for the same reasons I just mentioned, I think they're wrong. I think they're wrong if they think that that is the path to victory for the San Francisco 49ers. It's lazy. I don't think if anybody actually dug deep into this analysis for any point in time, they could feel better about the 49ers than they did when they started their research. Simply because I think that there are many more edges and margins within the edges that favor the Kansas City Chiefs, in my opinion, on both sides of the football. The one thing, though, that stood out to me, and we're going to walk through this game, you know, over the next hour, we're going to talk about the Niners on offense and the Niners passing the ball, Niners running the ball, flip it to the Chiefs. But the one thing that I guess bothers me a little bit about siding with the Chiefs,
right,
that I uncovered was simply the fact that I think that the 49ers are much more capable of erasing a deficit and coming back in this game if they need to, whereas I'm not so sure that the Chiefs are capable of that. The Niners have the number one most explosive passing offense in the NFL. They start quick. They can end the game quick as well with their passing attack. They've come back. They erased a 17-point deficit last week, 7 points the week before that. The 49ers are capable of doing that because of their explosiveness and their explosive playmakers on offense. The Chiefs don't have that. You know, in 2019, the Chiefs, they go and erase three deficits of double digits en route to their first Super Bowl. The Chiefs, in, even last year, they went 4-1 when trailing during the regular season by double digits. They won four of those five games. This year, they are 2 wins and 4 losses when down by anything more than 7 points, and the only wins have come against backup quarterbacks Jake Browning and Aiden O'Connell. They are one of the worst pass defenses in the NFL, pass offenses, the Chiefs, when trying to pass the football 10-plus yards down the field in the second half of games. They just don't have that element to get back into the game. That alone alone is the factor that has me feeling a little bit nervous about the Chiefs, but everything else, as we'll get to, there's a lot more that is falling into the pro-Chiefs basket for me than the pro-Niners basket, and it was a little bit surprising to me, but that's what the research shows.
So you're telling me, we'll get into this, obviously, in all its glory as we continue the hour with Warren Sharp from Las Vegas, that frankly, any way you slice the beef, at the end of the day, the sandwich is tasting better for Kansas City than it would be for San Francisco. And you think all these people are making a bad analysis of the game based on, short-sighted or the odds or the money, following the money, things of the nature. We'll figure out why he came to this conclusion as we roll on from Super Bowl 58 in Sin City to Mega Hub.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, so we're back in Vegas. By the way, a belated birthday. I think it was Del Frisco Grill's birthday yesterday. I think he was, wasn't it his birthday yesterday? I think that's what Mafia told me. And Luke and Del Frisco's Grill. So yesterday was your birthday. I forgot to mention that you were doing the show yesterday, and I also forgot to wish you happy birthday on our boy Del Frisco's Grill. His I think it was his 51st birthday. I could be wrong about that, too. Warren, so you have to start with explaining. Now, you're way above me pay grade wise in terms of your brilliance with football. I've never met anyone like you. You're a freak, and I support you fully, and you know that I'm locked in on that truth. So I don't understand really how you got to this point because how you feel about it right now, that they have the edge when I'm over here on, as you know, the stupid side, thinking that the only reason they're going to win is because Vegas is going to make $23 billion if the Niners win. That's how simple it is for me. It's like they're going to get their money one way or the other, whether it's props or whether it's the spread, whether it's the side, the money line, whatever it is. And almost I feel the vibe I'm getting from you is that's just not what's happening here. That's not going to be a factor.
Let me be crystal clear. I think there are more edges for the Chiefs, but I do think that this game is going to be decided by the slightest of margins, right? Like, it's going to be decided. Obviously, turnovers is going to decide most games.
A mistake.
Somebody, which I did bet Brock Purdy to throw an interception at even money. That was one of the bets I made. But I think that there's little edges, and we'll talk about it in the run game. For example, pretty much everybody who thinks about the Christian McCaffrey-led San Francisco 49ers is going to assume that they're going to have success running the ball. Because if there's one defense on the Chiefs, it's not their, not necessarily their pass offense, their run offense, or their pass defense. It's their run defense. The Chiefs' run defense is what struggles, and that's where the 49ers with their elite run offense could take advantage. However, here's one of the things. The Chiefs' run defense is very bad against 21 personnel runs and runs with two backs out on the football field, 21, 22, etc. They did play a lot of those this year because of their schedule. They went up against a lot of teams like the Bills, like the Dolphins, etc. They played 13 games against the top 13 teams in run rate out of two back sets. So they've had a lot of experience going up against these types of rushing attacks. One of their edges, though, has been on perimeter runs, outside zone runs out of 21 personnel. They actually are like slightly above average in terms of 14th in EPA, I think, 9th in success rate against outside zone runs from 21 personnel. That's what the 49ers love to utilize. They love to run the football out of 21, and they are the most outside zone heavy team in the NFL. So this style works well against a lot of teams, and it probably will still see levels of success against the Kansas City Chiefs. But the one thing that most people are just assuming is like, what's the the thing that you can stamp and say, I feel the strongest about the Super Bowl in terms of a matchup. Christian McCaffrey should have a good game. That's what most people are going to say. And I think that he may be able to still have a decent game because Kyle's going to give him a ton of rushing attempts, but I don't see him having a ton of success. Keep in mind, the Philadelphia Eagles had the number one rushing offense in last year's Super Bowl. Their backs averaged 2.9 yards per carry against this very same Steve Spagnuolo-led Kansas City Chiefs defense in the Super Bowl. He completely shut down the run attack and forced Jalen Hurts to pass the ball. Now, Hurts had a great game. Eagles scored 35 points. They still lost, but they were able to score points and move the ball on offense.
Because I respect Spags, frankly, as a D coordinator, more than I do at all Spags as a head coach. I saw that, you know, he wants to coach again as a head coach. And I think, frankly, he's making a mistake. I think he's a great defensive coordinator. I think he's the best in the business at it. There's a lot of people that think, you know, it's this guy McDonald. They think it's Wink. They think that it's Spagnuolo. He is able to take a guy out of a game. Now, if he takes McCaffrey out of this, you know, game, they're screwed. And I want you to explain, so, because a lot of people, I think, that when you're talking about this 21 and the zone and everything else, that you're speaking French. Okay, I think the average layman, respectfully, doesn't understand it. Can you explain to people right now what that means as a, like, just as a simpleton version of it?
Yeah.
What they're trying to accomplish, where you're, like, your high-tech analytic genius of what's happening in an NFL game is so far above people's head that they don't understand it. I want you to dumb it down a little to say what exactly they're trying to accomplish on the football field by saying outside, getting outside the zone, getting, and why they're so good at it when McCaffrey's running the ball.
Well, look, the Chiefs and Kyle, this is why he's one of my favorite coaches in the NFL. Defenses are now built to defend 11 personnel, which means there's three wide receivers on the field. They're built to defend a lot of passing and 11 personnel, which is where the league has trended. The league has trended in the direction of passing. The league has trended in the direction of more wide receivers out on the field.
Right.
And so what Kyle is doing, he's cutting against the grain and saying, you're building your defense to defend three wide receivers, a slot guy. You're building your defense to play with slightly lighter boxes, with more mobile linebackers. Linebackers aren't going to be able to attack the line quite as much and help in the run game. And for those reasons, you're not going to be built to defend when I come out in my 21 personnel, which means that there's two backs out on the field. Most of the time it's a fullback, and in this case, Kyle Juszczyk, and then Christian McCaffrey. And we're going to play with a little bit more of a focus on the run game. They're the number two most run-heavy team in the league, so they run the ball a lot, and they're coming downhill, and they're attacking you with 21 personnel, which means they got this fullback out on the field, and he's an extra blocker to help from
McCaffrey. Was that way? Did his dad coach that way?
I think
and then he's stealing from his dad?
Well, yes. That was more prevalent.
At a higher level.
Yeah, I think Kyle is better than his dad, and they're doing it at a different level because now, in those days, the defenses were built to stop the run. Now the defenses are built to stop the pass. So they're cutting against the grain. And this is why, with a lot of teams, I have the mantra, do something different and do it well. The Ravens were really good at that when they had their running quarterback and they just designed a lot of runs. Most teams did not face that very much, so they're not built to defend it very much. And the same thing is true in this case. The difference, though, is what I was saying. Steve Spagnuolo and this Kansas City Chiefs defense, they've played a ton of teams that use two backs out on the field this year. More than, I think they've got the second highest number of plays against them from two back sets. So they're well conditioned against this. They faced it a lot. They haven't had a lot of success, but they're really good at getting their linebackers flowing to cover the run game on the perimeter. And that's exactly where the 49ers like to attack with Christian McCaffrey. So I think what's going to end up happening here, and we'll talk about it in the next segment when I get to Deebo Samuel, I think that we're going to see Kyle Shanahan feel the need to get a little bit more creative in the run game, because all the McCaffrey, first, second down in the first half of the game is not maybe gaining as many yards as he wants them to. So he's probably going to mix in a little bit more Deebo Samuel as a rusher in this game, in my opinion, to kind of create an X factor to give the Chiefs something different to look at.
So like Deebo getting cracks is going to be, you're going to jump on that prop him over attempts rushing, because you think he's
rushing yards.
Yeah, he's going to get the ball in the backfield, and they're going to run him through in motion, give him the ball to see if he can get around the outside.
Yeah.
So why do you think he's so much better than his dad? His dad won 3 Super Bowls. He never won one, and he screwed up the Super Bowl in Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, look, that's the thing. This is one of the reasons why I want him to win, because so many people think that exact way. Unless you win the Super Bowl, you're not a good enough coach.
He's due one.
He's due one. He deserves one. But also, I don't think that just winning the Super Bowl, just like with players like Dan Marino, I don't think that that should be like the one thing that says, well, you actually weren't that good because you never won
a
Super Bowl.
He was that good.
Yeah, Dan Marino was amazing.
I used to go watch him play.
Kyle is too.
I used to go watch him play every Saturday at Pitt when they played at Pitt Stadium in Pittsburgh up on the hill.
Yeah, my whole family's from Pitt. My dad, mom, everybody.
What an experience that stadium was. You walked up the hill, you got to the stadium, and then the stadium went down into the ground. I saw all the greats play. Dorsett, Hugh Green, Dan Marino. It was unbelievable watching him play college football at Pitt. And I respect his game in the NFL like no other. We're talking to Warren Sharp, the one and only.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
This is The Lion's Share, brought to you by BetMGM.
So it really is incredible how ready BetMGM is for the big game. They are literally on every street corner in Las Vegas handing out $158 to people that bet $5. They just have stacks and bands of money, and they're literally everywhere I go. You know, it used to be that you would cross over the strip on the bridge to the MGM from the other side of the street, and someone would hand you a strip club business card. Now, they actually have BetMGM guys standing there giving you $158, which I think is a fantastic idea. So what I do is I change my look every couple of hours, a different hairstyle, a different jacket, a different shirt, and then the guy just keeps giving me $158 because it's so hectic here. And I think they're very creative people, BetMGM. So use the bonus code SG158. You got to get the app on iOS or Android, or go to BetMGM.com, open an account with like $5, make a standard odds, $5 bet, boom, you're going to get 158 in bonus bets instantaneously, and then I believe you'll be lovers with them forever. And so does Warren Sharp. So let's talk about some of your sharp plays, your sharp picks, your sharp props for Sunday.
Yeah, so I think we're going to start with Kyle Juszczyk. And his longest reception, over 2.5 yards. It seems like an odd bet to make. It's primarily because they have two ways. I've seen actually 3 ways to bet it, but not every book has it. One is just to catch a pass, but that's like minus 150. I'm not interested in that. You could find his passing yard or receiving yards at like 3.5, or you could find his longest reception at 2.5. I just prefer his longest reception at 2.5 because he's not going to, I highly doubt he's going to catch a ball that goes shorter than that. Usually he does not. But this bet, a lot of guys don't like this bet because they feel Juszczyk was used 3 times last week. He caught passes and broken plays, and that we're not going to see those as much, and they're not going to be the 49ers are going to be trailing by 17 points, so there's not going to be any need to utilize Juszczyk. My handicap on this prop and kind of the story that I'm telling myself based upon the research that I put into it is that Kyle Shanahan is going to need to get a little bit more creative with the offense because Christian McCaffrey may not have the 100 out of 100 game that people are assuming that he's going to have, a little bit less than that. And I also think that Snead is going to limit Ayuk a little bit on the outside. And so Kyle's going to have to go with not his, you know, jab to win this game. He's going to have to come with some different types of punches that he doesn't normally use.
He's going to
come up with some different things. And Kyle's just too creative a guy not to throw in there a pass to Juszczyk. I think they dial up a couple of plays while Juszczyk is the primary option on these plays that are going to catch the Kansas City Chiefs defense by surprise a little bit. And the way to attack this one, I think, is just longest reception over 2.5 yards because the juice is a little bit low, and if he catches one, it's probably going to be on one of the... He's not going to be used as an outlet guy that's just going to catch a pass and get tackled in the backfield, like, as the fifth option on a play. If they're going to Juszczyk, it's going to be something dialed up down the field to take advantage of a mismatch in the secondary that Kyle's identified on tape, so that's one I like.
So underneath or off in the flat, whatever, and then he's going to go over to 2.5, and it's a good bet, yeah. And then he's the last guy, even though he had a couple of plays last week you talked about, but he's the last guy that Spags right now has to worry about, because he's got to focus on stopping McCaffrey.
Ayuk,
and then he's got to worry about Debo. So everyone knows it's coming, but they don't worry about that's coming.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right.
All right, fair enough. All right, what's the next one?
The next one...
Debo.
Okay, this is the rushing yards one that we discussed before. Right. I think that Debo Samuel is going to spell Christian McCaffrey a little bit more than usual in this game. Last game of the season. Remember, he got injured in the first playoff game and did not have a single rushing attempt. Right. I bet him in that game under 3.5 rushing attempts. Easiest prop bet I've bet all season. He got hurt after 9 plays, went out for the game. Last week he had, I want to say, 3 attempts. Barely got to like 14 yards, 11 yards, something like that. He just fell short of this number. I think they're going to use him a little bit more here. It was clear that Kyle Shanahan, down the way that they were, did not trust anybody other than CMC to run with the football. He did not stick Eli Mitchell into the game until the victory was in hand and CMC fell on his head on the sideline. That's when they let Eli Mitchell get a couple of carries late in the game. If they're not trusting Eli Mitchell to get carries early in the game, then they're not going to utilize him here in the Super Bowl. It's going to be some Debo Samuel spelling CMC. I'd rather take his yards more so than the attempts, so I'm over in his yards.
So over 16.5 rushing yards for Debo. Well, you know, obviously, you're going to talk about the passing game, but while we're on the subject of Debo, what kind of game do you think he's going to have on that side of the coin, catching it and yards after catch? He's so dangerous. He never goes down. He breaks tackles and he pretzels out of tackles and gains another 12 yards.
He's amazing. I am still looking at ways to attack him in the receiving game as well, because I don't necessarily think that Ayuk's not going to have the yardage, but I just don't know with the coverage that he's going to receive and the focus that Ayuk's going to get on the outside. I think that we're going to need Purdy to go to his second option. And that's what I believe the game plan for Spags is. Take away the first option, which is run the football, or at least limit that. Make Kyle feel like he needs to throw the ball. And what do you think Spags wants to happen here? Spags does not want to see Christian McCaffrey gain 5-6 yards a play and then score touchdowns and for never to have the ball in Brock Purdy's hands. You want to put Brock Purdy on the spot, and that's the way to do it is with Debo Samuel. And then the last one is Brock Purdy to throw an interception. So one of the things we're going to talk about momentarily is Purdy versus top 10 pass defenses. You know, the passing attack of the San Francisco 49ers. And interestingly enough, Purdy has not played hardly any elite pass defenses. They've played only 4 all year long.
Now he's seeing one.
Now he's going to go up against one. But in those 4 games, he was 1-3. The team lost 3 games. He had a 59% completion rate. I looked at all games against top 10 pass defenses.
Right.
A 59% completion rate, that ranked number 28th. He threw 5 touchdowns to 8 interceptions in 4 games against top 10 pass defenses. That ranked touchdown interception rate ranked 31st. So they are going to, in my opinion, be facing one here, as we mentioned, and they're going to be having issues getting the ball to wide open guys. I think Spags is going to create enough coverage problems where Purdy might feel like he needs to force something, especially you take away CMC, some of the explosive runs. I mean, look, also don't get it twisted that I'm not saying that CMC is going to do nothing in this game. He's a great player. The 49ers have a great run offense. They're the best in the NFL. He's going to do something. I just don't think he's going to have the slam dunk game everybody thinks that he's going to have. I think there's another universe that exists where Spags minimizes that a little bit, and now Purdy has to throw the football a little bit more. They might not be playing with a lead, even though they're favorites. Purdy's going to be pushing the football a little bit more down the field as well.
That's what he does, Spags. He takes people out of their game, out of their rhythm, out of their norm, out of their role, and he ruins their day. And Belichick does the same thing to people. And I think that you're going to see that he's going to be forcing Purdy to do other things that he's not accustomed to doing, and that would lead to against a great secondary, the pick. And I think without a doubt, you're right. You know what this guy has done to me today, Mafia? Your boy Warren here, the mad scientist. I'm over here trying to ride San Francisco for, you know, money, and now what he's trying to do is scramble my brain. He's got me all twisted up and screwed up, and I'm speaking in tongues. I'm talking to myself now. I went to the bathroom. I started going, I was on San Francisco. This guy's got me thinking about Kansas City. Look what you've done to me.
Well, look, here's the other thing. We talked about how San Francisco loves to throw deep. They're a tricky offense. Remember you talked about, like, well, what's Kyle trying to do here? They bring out these heavy personnel groupings, make it look like they're going to run the football. They're attacking some of your lighter defense against the run. But when they pass the ball, they actually throw deeper than any other offense in the NFL. On early downs, they have the highest target depth. They throw the ball down the field. They're looking for explosive plays. But one interesting element for the Kansas City Chiefs defense has been is that since week 10, against early down deep passes, they were number 15 in EPA and number 17 in success rate over the first 9 weeks. Since week 10, they're number one in EPA and number one in success rate versus deep passes on early down. So the exact thing that Kyle tries to dial up when San Francisco is passing the ball and not running it on these early downs is going deep. KC has been elite against that. So it's really going to be an interesting matchup. I cannot wait.
You saw it last week in the bank in the Charm City. Jackson literally could not throw the ball over 20 yards to anybody. Every time they threw it, not only was it either overthrown or no chance to catch it, but it was that Kansas City was, their secondary was so good on those deep balls that they were running, looking at the ball, going, you're not catching this. This isn't working. It's not happening here today. And they literally shut that part of Jackson's game down in Baltimore's game. They do that to this kid, Purdy. He's screwed. If, you know, obviously they went from 15, 17 to number one. They're not giving up deep balls.
No, they're not. And only two teams have played fewer games versus top 10 pass defenses than Brock Purdy's 49ers.
That's a bad sign.
He has thrown only 141 pass attempts against top 10 pass defenses. That ranks 28th in the NFL. So they just have not played very many good pass defenses. On the other side, we're going to be talking about Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes has played only two teams have played more top 10 pass defenses than Patrick Mahomes this year. He's thrown 254 passes against top 10 pass defenses this year. That's the sixth most.
And I have to tell you, I think the Niners secondary sucks. I saw Goff just shred them like a wood chipper last week in the first half. So I think that Mahomes might be able to take advantage of it. The mad scientist is scrambling my brain today, as usual.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
All right, we're back with the great Warren Sharp, our lead analyst at Sports Grid in Vegas at Super Bowl 58 at Radio Row in the Mandalay Bay where the fishes fly. By the way, they're actually having a Teofimo Lopez fight here Thursday night. Did you know that?
There's something in my room because I'm at a MGM property and there's the little brochure for it.
There's a boxing fight here on Thursday night. He fought this kid when he was an amateur, the kid, and he beat him. Now he's going to beat him as a pro because he's 10 times better than the guy he's fighting. Anyway, so let's shift gears to the Kansas City rush with Pacheco against the Niners defense, and then we'll do the Mahomes magic and his passing attack against what I said was, I think, fair to Midland at an average San Francisco secondary. I'm sorry. Any way you slice it, I thought Love cut him up. I thought Goff humiliated him, and then they, you know, vomited all over their bib in the second half. If he would have even remotely scored, I think, 10 points in the second half, they'd be playing in this game. So let's start with the they're not playing in the game, as we know, and it is the Niners. So let's talk about Pacheco and their rush and what they've got planned offensively carrying the ball.
So like the 49ers utilize a lot of two running back sets and 21 personnel, the Kansas City Chiefs use a lot of two tight end to three tight end sets. That's called 12 personnel if they have two tight ends out on the field. They like to operate out of that, but what they need to do a little bit more of, in my opinion, in this game is run the football more from 11 personnel, which is their three wide receiver sets, run it from spread, pass more from their heavier sets. Again, you give the illusion the defense has an extra heavier body inside the box when you have an extra tight end out on the field, and then you want to pass the ball off of that, take advantage of a guy who's more capable defending the run than the pass on defense. Similarly, on offense, you spread them out, you get them to add an extra DB, play a little bit lighter, and then you run Pacheco on them. And so I think they can have some success in doing that. They have been efficient, and the 49ers run defense has been weak, but where the 49ers, they've got some massive splits, and when we get to talking about the passing attack, we'll talk about Travis Kelce. The same sort of theme rings true. In part, it's because the Niners have elite linebacking play from Greenlaw and Fred Warner. But you want to run at them to their perimeter. So interior runs versus the San Francisco 49ers run defense first three quarters of games. They rank number 14 in EPA, number 4 in yards per carry when you run guard to guard between the guards. But when you run to the tackles or to the edges, they rank number 26 in EPA and number 17 in yard per carry. They're substantially worse when you run the football outside to the perimeter, to the outside. And Kansas City has been much, much better in the playoffs. In the regular season, they were running a lot more to the inside, running very little to the outside. In the playoffs, however, they've made some adjustments and they're actually running outside as much as they're running inside. And in the playoffs for Kansas City's offense, when they ran the ball guard to guard, they were getting only 3 yards per carry. But when they've been running to the perimeter, they've been getting 5.8 yards per carry. So they're better running to the outside. The 49ers defense is definitely worse when teams run to the outside. And so if the Kansas City Chiefs lean a little bit more into that, I think they're going to have even more success than people otherwise would project this game going. So flip
the script. They're running between the guards. They had all their success, but because San Francisco has a weakness on, if they were to run outside, they could burn them there.
Exactly. And so this is, you know, as I'm looking into this, what am I finding from a matchup perspective? Well, this is like a pro Kansas City angle that they've been running a little bit more outside and they're better at doing it and San Francisco's worse at defending it. Whereas like when I'm looking at Christian McCaffrey, I'm seeing, hey, they're great. They're awesome running the football. There's no doubt. But like there are some things about this Chiefs defense, even though they're bad, that I think they could have some matchup successes. So I feel less strong about McCaffrey. I feel more strong about Pacheco, which is why I'm leaning a little bit more into thinking, hey, what if there's this alternate reality where the Kansas City Chiefs are a little bit better in some of these areas? So I think that they're going to be able to have some success on the ground. Now, one thing that the Niners defense is unfortunate that has occurred is they lost Hufanga in week 10, a great safety for them. And he, I mean, their run defense dropped off tremendously. Their run defense with him there, the first 9 weeks, number 9 in EPA, they dropped to number 26 since that point in run defense without him. They were number 8 in success rate with him, and since he got hurt, they're number 30 in success rate. So a lot of their defense, you look at the full season, you're not getting the true picture of this team. And that also is a factor in the passing game as well. Their pass defense has dropped off tremendously without him there, and that's an element that I think naturally Patrick Mahomes is going to have some success with.
So let me ask you this question. When, you talk about running between the guards. It's insanity to me that you can actually pull it off in this day and age in the NFL with the size of these linemen that are there. And that, like, because I, you know, I'm always like complaining, like Harris and Warren would run between the tackles and inside or between the guards and get nothing, get a yard. Or, you know, if you're trying on fourth and one or fourth and two to get, if you're running up the middle, it's a kiss of death in the NFL with these guys that are so monstrous. That is amazing to me that they had all that success. But I've seen it with my own eyes, watching Pacheco dancing between those guards and finding a seam, getting through it like a crack in the door and getting 7-8 yards on a first down carry between the guards. That's insanity.
And part of the reason, though, that they have started to run a little bit more to the edges because of Tooney, who I think is going to be out for this game as well. Key guard for the Chiefs. He's probably going to be missing. So they haven't been quite as good defending, attacking between the guards. Better to the perimeter. Now let's talk about Patrick Mahomes. So if you are the 49ers, the number one thing that you need to stop, in my opinion, is Travis Kelce, because you take the security blanket away from Patrick Mahomes. He's been targeting him a ton this season. Now, there's massive splits for the 49ers based on where teams target their tight ends because of how elite those linebackers are. It's similar to how you want to run the ball to the edges as well to get away from those guys. In passes between the numbers to tight ends, San Francisco's defense ranks number one in EPA, number two in yards per attempt, and number three in success rate. But on passes outside the numbers, number 19 in EPA, number 11 in yards per attempt, and number 22 in success rate. That's a substantial drop-off. During the regular season, if you look at heat maps, which I look at, you know, heat maps and all the stats that I analyze, there's some in here right here, you'll see that there are some heat maps that show Travis Kelce when he's being targeted. During the season, Travis Kelce is mostly targeted probably about 5 to 7 yards down the field, right in the middle of the field.
Right in the middle.
That's where he's been targeted most in the regular season. However, in the playoffs, they've been spreading him out and using him a lot more outside the numbers as well. They haven't been isolating the targets in the middle of the field.
Where in the F do you get heat maps? It matches your shirt. Where do you get heat maps? No one else has what you have. Where are you doing this? Is there a secret lab?
Well, it costs a lot of money to get the data, but once you get the data, then it's easy.
Carver, this guy's got heat maps. He's like the army, night vision. He's got heat maps and graphs with heat maps. Who has that?
I love looking at the data.
You win all these bets. You got information no one else has. I go to the sports book. I'm going against math numbers. You're going in with. This is like the Navy. He's underwater, like in a submarine, going against the Russians. Where did you get that?
So the key with something like this, though, is it jumps out the page. You can look at it for a split second. You don't have to get all to the numbers and the data. And I'm a visualized learner as well. So when I see things that I can look at and just the data being visualized for me, so I don't have to crunch the numbers, you look at Laporta. Laporta last week, the guy was injured. They didn't even know if he was going to be able to play in the playoffs. And Laporta goes out there. He was close to 100%, but not quite there. 9 of 13 for 97 yards from Jared Goff, who, you know, outdoor Jared Goff, not great. They carved up that 49ers defense using Sam Laporta, who wasn't at 100%. TJ Hockenson caught 11 of 12 balls for 86 yards, and Trey McBride caught 11 of 12 balls for 107 yards. So you have had success, even though these linebackers are great, and generally speaking, if you throw between the numbers, they're the top pass defense in the NFL. If you target these tight ends outside the numbers a little bit, other tight ends that aren't quite the same level as Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes, that chemistry they have had success against these guys. So I do believe that Travis Kelce can have a good game here catching the ball. It's one of the strengths. And so when I'm talking about
the middle between the numbers,
don't go over the middle between the numbers. Go to the perimeter of the defense. That's where you're going to have the success. And this, again, goes to the line of thinking, just backing up to big picture here. When I'm looking at how do the Chiefs win defensively, they have to stop McCaffrey. Well, I'm finding angles that show this is how they could limit McCaffrey a little bit. What do the 49ers defense have to do? They have to stop Kelce. Well, I'm seeing edges that Kelce could have in ways that the Chiefs have already been using him outside the numbers a little bit. They've already been leaning into that. They don't have to all of a sudden do something they've never done all year and suddenly do it for this game. And we might not expect them to make such a large change. In this particular case, they've already been doing it. I think it's going to have a little bit of success.
How is it that you're not like standing on some sideline making decisions for a head coach? Like the guy that screwed up the Lions game with Dan Campbell, you should replace him. Honestly, you could. You could replace that guy and you would be a genius and you could be the one handing it. They would have made the right calls if they would have used you instead of this Nimrod who had all the bad decisions. Mr. Analytics got it all wrong, but Warren Sharp never gets it wrong. And then you could have his job and then be making millions standing next to Dan Campbell. And then you would be the next hot head coach in the NFL.
No, I'm not.
I could be your agent.
You could be. You would be a great agent. I mean, I could tell you, every guy who sat on my in this spot right here, you're a great agent for all your guests.
I can get you to places you've never gone before. I believe that Warren Sharp should be a head coach in the NFL, and that he will begin that quest by being the assistant that is the analytics genius, and he will also have heat maps at the game showing visual analytics. He doesn't even have to be smart. He can just look at the graph. You can look at the heat map and know exactly what they're going to do. I mean, this thing. So this pamphlet is literally, it'd be like striking gold. You're Jed Clampett. You're striking oil in the backyard.
Well, I'm trying.
Where all the information is.
What I always try to do is I assume that all the basic information is known by most people, and I'm trying to go into edges that most people aren't necessarily exploring to try to find things that I think could create an advantage if a team utilized it a little bit more, and the things that we aren't thinking that everybody here, there's tons of people here that are
Jacques Cousteau. You're going places that no one else has ever gone. The normal layman is thinking about, oh, they're going to win again. But you're over here doing things that they have no idea, no concept of. That's exactly what you're doing. I figured out Warren Sharp. It took several years, but I found the answer to his puzzle. He's like an SAT question. It took me years to figure it out, but I finally figured it out. He's doing things no one else has done before. He's Jacques Cousteau. I mean, look at him. Honestly, you can see him right here at the Super Bowl on the set next to me. He's not hiding out at some casino like he's always doing, or with his fire in his living room doing the show. He's actually sitting here with me, and I've stolen all of his ideas, and I'm going to steal that pamphlet, and I'm also going to steal the heat maps. Those are like those heat
I'll give it to you. You don't have to steal it. I'll give it to you.
You know the heat patches they put on the light paint on your back?
Yeah, those are great.
They're cold when they go on, though. I could never figure that out. He would have figured it out. Warren would have figured out why they're cold when you put them on.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You really are a freak, Warren, I got to tell you. And by the way, Warren's son is a television executive in a high-level network, and he was watching us today, and he did mention to Warren to smile more. And you know what? That's funny, because my mother used to tell me that when I was a kid. Smile. It'll get you far in life. How do you feel about your son telling you what to do on the TV show today? Because he is a television executive, and he's also in the fourth grade.
I'm taking the advice very seriously, and I'm listening. So
you're smiling now.
Smiling.
I mean, he's just the happiest guy on earth.
But I'll tell you what else
is... What is the last thing you want to tell me?
Yeah, what has made the Chiefs very happy is the fact that they finally got a bye week here. Because their last bye week was week 10. They was flying back from Germany. They then played from week 12 to 17, six straight games at a rest disadvantage compared to their opponent. The first team in NFL history to be forced to play six straight games with a rest disadvantage. That was what happened to the Kansas City Chiefs. They did not get a first-round bye in the playoffs. They also played two straight road games against elite teams this year, the Buffalo Bills, the Baltimore Ravens. It's just a gauntlet that they've had to go through. I think the bye week helped them relax, rejuvenate, re-energize, and I'm really looking to see how they perform in this game as yet a third straight game that they're an underdog.
But they've played more, so you're telling me the Niners haven't had to play that much.
The Niners have not had to play as much. They've had more rest.
So you think it's going to catch up with them?
I think it's going to help the Chiefs that they now finally get the bye week here to recuperate, and it means more for the Chiefs because of the gauntlet that they've been through to have this week of rest, whereas the 49ers, they had rest 2 weeks ago in the wild card round. They didn't have to play. They got rest again. They've been getting flowers all year as one of the best teams in the NFL. Everybody's been talking trash about the Chiefs.
You're incredible. I got to tell you, you're a freak. Honestly, there's something wrong with you. I'm going to get him a head coaching job in the NFL. That's what I'm going to do now. I'm not going to work at Sports Grid anymore. I'm going to become an NFL mega agent like Dougie Fresh Hendrickson. Thanks, Warren. Great job, buddy.
Thank you.
Coda just made riding the bus easier than ever. Now you can pay your Coda fare by tapping your smartphone, smartwatch, or card, just like you do at the coffee shop or grocery store. Love paying with smart card? Keep doing that. Have a pass? Still works perfectly. Want to tap your phone? Now you can do that too. It's just one more way to move your way with Coda. Get moving now with Tap to Pay. Learn more at coda.com/tap.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit rightrug.com. RITERUG.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.